What makes a Christian an overcomer? Find out in today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We're currently in a series going through 1 John, a little book that has big implications. Today we're looking at 1 John 2, verses 7 through 11. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through this important passage. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in again. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're continuing our series on 1 John and exploring the principles of going deeper with God, having fellowship with God, not just believing in Him for eternal life, but now growing as a Christian. And we're in chapter 2, starting at verse 12 to 14. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. All right, well, the first thing you notice about that passage is that he seems to be writing to children, young men, and fathers, but he might not be too literal about that. What is he really referring to?
Well, you'll remember in 2:1, he calls all the readers little children, and later in chapter 5, he calls them little children. And so many commentators have suggested that all three of these references, little children, fathers, young men, are designations of all the readers. So these are three different ways, with the idea being something like, as little children, they're beloved. As young men, they're strong. They've overcome the world. And as fathers, they know God. They are mature. They are wise, etc. And so he's looking at the readers in three different ways. And I think the emphasis on all of this is, he is not writing to a group of brand new believers. He is writing to a group of spiritually mature believers, and these three verses bring that out strongly.
That's right. So like in verse 12, for example, when he says, I write to you little children, he's not literally saying, okay, now I'm talking to the kindergartners here.
Right.
Like you just said, he addresses all of his readers as little children. And it's interesting, he says, I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Well, that's really interesting given 1 John 1, verses 7 to 9.
Absolutely.
Where forgiveness depends on something.
Right. Some people would think what he's talking about here is what we often call positional forgiveness. But I think you're right. He's talking, I believe, about what is often called fellowship forgiveness. And he's saying they are in fellowship with God because they are walking in the light, they are confessing their sins, 1 John 1:7, 1 John 1:9, with the result, 1 John 1:9, that He forgives their sins and cleanses them from all unrighteousness.
And by the way, your spiritual life is not going to improve automatically. God gives you some basic principles for you to practice so that you will grow. One of these personal spiritual practices is what John describes in the first chapter, regularly confessing your sins so that you will have this cleansing, so you'll have this fellowship.
And that is how you know you are forgiven in a fellowship sense. That's how you know you're walking in the light, because you're honest with God.
So in verse 12, clearly these little children, these readers, they know about fellowship forgiveness and it is theirs.
Right.
Okay. So verse 13, I write to you fathers because you have known Him who is from the beginning. Now, this known Him, we've already discussed in previous episodes, which you can listen to online at faithalone.org radio, or look for us on iTunes. This is not just, hey, you know, I know a fact. This is a relational type knowledge.
This is a person.
Right.
The Lord Jesus Christ, the light. He's the true light. They have known God, 1 John 2:3, by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. They have known the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning, could look back to creation, could look back to eternity past, but most likely I think this refers to the beginning of Jesus' ministry, His 3.5 years of ministry on earth. But the point is, they've known Him who is from the beginning. This knowledge is an experiential knowledge.
And he continues in verse 13, I write to you, young man, because you have overcome the wicked one. How have they overcome the wicked one?
In 1 John, we're going to see that we have three basic enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And here, he's pulling out the devil, whom he calls the evil one. And he says, you have overcome the evil one. This word for overcome is the verb nikao. The noun is Nike. If that sounds familiar, it's because Nike is named after the Greek goddess of victory. Basically, you could translate this something like, I'm writing to you young men because you have been victorious over the evil one. You have defeated the evil one, something like that. The fact that they have loved others, the previous context, is a defeat of Satan. It's a defeat of the wicked one. If we're hating other believers, well, then we're not overcoming the wicked one. But if we're loving others, we're overcoming him, because that's not what Satan wants. Satan wants discord in the church.
In the previous verses, John kind of contrasts walking in the darkness and with walking in the light, and he's saying the darkness is passing away. When a Christian is obeying God, keeping these commands to love your neighbor, walking in the light, are they helping to dispel the darkness, overcoming the evil one like that?
Oh, absolutely, because there's no cause of stumbling in them. So yes, they are dispelling the darkness in their own sphere. Like your children, for example. Children that grow up in a Christian home where they're getting Christian teaching and Christian instruction are growing up in the sphere of light. Even before they're born again, they're growing up in that atmosphere. But Christians who grow up in an unbelieving home and a home where there's a lot of hatred and hostility, they're growing up in the darkness. We call those dysfunctional homes.
Right.
And it's much harder to grow up in an Ozzy Osbourne home than it does an Ozzy and Harriet home.
Right.
But
right.
Now, for most of our listeners, they don't know who Ozzy and Harriet were. But if you're...
I'm just nodding. I
know.
Assume
you
it's
wouldn't know. You're such
an old
a young
show
guy.
That,
yeah, right. Okay. But if you're over 60, you know who Ozzy and Harriet are.
Well, he continues, I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Again, this kind of speaks to their spiritual state. There's no question that they've known the Father, and knowing the Father is an intimacy term. It's a fellowship term here for John.
And notice, he's saying of them what he has previously said about the fathers. He says the fathers have known him, and now he says the little children have known him. This is one of the things that suggests he's not trying to have hard and fast categories here.
Verse 14, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Again, there's this repetition there.
Yes, but notice here he adds something he hasn't said before, and it's very important. And this is one of the things we make clear in this show. You can only be a victorious Christian if the Word of God takes up residence in your life and in your thinking. If the Word of God is not an integral part of your life, you will not be like the person that John is talking about here. Notice, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Notice the words, and the Word of God abides in you. That's between you are strong and you have overcome the wicked one. What he's saying is, the way you've overcome the wicked one is because the Word of God abides in you.
That's the means of overcoming the wicked one.
Without the Word of God abiding in us, we cannot be strong. We cannot overcome the world. You know, a lot of people think, and I used to think this way, if I'm just committed enough, if I'm just determined enough, if I stick it in my scheduler, if I put it in my phone and I say, I'm going to do this, that, or the other every day, that somehow that would lead to victory in my Christian life. That's legalism. That's not having the Word of God abiding and remaining in you. Let me tell you a quick story, Sean. There was a young man who was my friend, Dr. Art Farstad, who was the lead editor of the New King James and taught at Dallas Seminary. Art had a small Plymouth Brethren church that met in his home, and there was a young man in his church who was following this youth leader that suggested you should read 10 chapters of the Bible a day. 5 Psalms, 1 Proverb, 2 chapters more from the Old Testament, 2 chapters from the New Testament. So this young man had to read 10 chapters every day or he felt like he was failing spiritually, right? So he would come to Art's church and Art would be preaching. Art was one of the most gifted teachers of the Word of God ever. And this young man was not listening to Art. What was he doing? He was reading his 10 chapters because he couldn't hardly keep up with all this reading he had to do. So he would read his chapters while Art was speaking. At prayer meeting, he'd be reading the chapters during the prayers because he had to read his 10 chapters. That's legalism. That's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about here is we're hearing the Word of God taught and we're taking it in. We're like what Peter says, longing for the pure milk of the Word.
Well, I can't help but think about Jesus in the wilderness. He gets tempted by the evil one. The evil one comes.
And how does he respond?
How does Jesus overcome the evil one?
He quotes Scripture to him.
That's one way of overcoming the evil one. And then I think about Paul, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. How do we get transformed? Well, it's by the renewing of the mind. And how does your mind get renewed?
By
the Word of God.
By the Word of God. See, we need the Word. There's almost an emphasis today, Sean, I know you're familiar with this, that's against doctrine. There's almost the idea that doctrine is a bad thing and that what we should have is a lot of feelings. It seems to me feelings come as we take in the Word of God. We don't seek feelings. The feelings will come as we love God and love His Word.
That should be common sense. I mean, imagine if you had something wrong with you and you went to see a doctor and you asked the doctor, should we find out more? Should we do some tests to gain knowledge about how? And the doctor said, no, I just have a gut feeling that this is brain cancer.
Right.
Yeah, but doctor, it's my stomach that hurts. No, I just have a gut feeling. We're just going to go and cut out parts of your brain. That's a bad doctor.
Amen.
That doesn't work in medicine, doesn't work in the Christian life. You need a foundation of truth upon which to build your life. And you're not going to get that, unfortunately, in a lot of churches. You only get it from the Word of God, which is why we emphasize it so strongly in Grace in Focus Radio. Check us out online. Listen to us, follow us, subscribe to our channel on iTunes, and go to faithloan.org/radio to listen to previous and to future broadcasts.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that great description of what an overcomer is. How encouraging that is to me. I know if you're like me, you want to grow and mature. If that's the case, I'd like to encourage you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of resources that will help you grow and mature in your faith. We've got a print magazine, we have teaching videos, we've got podcasts, we've got blog posts. One of the things that I find really valuable personally is our Bible conferences. We do these Bible conferences throughout the nation. We do a number of them regionally in different places, but we also have one large national Bible conference. If that sounds interesting to you, I'd like to encourage you to hop on our website, faithalone.org, and find out if we're doing one near you. Maybe you've got questions or comments about today's show or even one of these live events. If that's the case, I'm going to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to talk about the fact that fellowship depends on walking in love. We'll find out all about that on tomorrow's broadcast. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.